chance to win this with a field goal.
Give me time.
Wait, there's a timeout. They're going to ice the kicker. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
The snap is good. Threads are up.
It's time to ice the kicker! Boom! Thank you very much for joining us for another week of ITK. That's what I've done there for everybody. It's just broken it down. Ice the Kicker podcast. We're back. Myself, Tom Deacon, and the one and only in front of me for the first time ever for a record, not side on. We're facing each other this week. It's the one and only Mr. Charlie Hawkins.
Thank you. I'm a bit excited about this. We're facing each other. Must admit, yeah. A little bit nervous as well. I feel like it's almost like a face-off. You know, you get in boxing, like, saw lads, who's got the better stamina?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who that was an impression of, but...
I don't know who that was. Yeah.
I just went there.
Who the, is this guy? Yeah, Charlie and I are facing each other for the first time. Hopefully, this will sort out and iron out any little problems that we have had.
Basically, Charlie now should be in front of the mic and we won't have no sound issues because I struggle with that.
No, but I think because we get excited, that's a word we use often, we get energized, we get into it. We love our NFL and we know you do too. So thank you for joining us for another week. Can I just lay down what we're going to do in the next...
Lay down the plays that we should be calling from our play sheet.
First up, we go in hard with the news. There is one main news piece. Then there's lots of snippets, which we'll bring everybody up to speed with. Then I've got a couple of questions. Charlie's got a couple of questions for me. And then also, we'll be bringing you back our popular demand because it's our favourite new feature. It is, of course, Who Are Ya? That's coming back. We are throwing forward to the things that we have got coming up. But first of all, putting it out there, Charlie and I, we're both off to the Jags game coming to the UK.
Yes!
Excited about that. What did you manage to get your ticket at?
Took me a while. Yeah. Not going to lie.
How many tickets were you looking for?
Three.
Yeah.
And you termed it as the spinning wheel of death, which I thought was accurate because it seemed like I was on that spinning wheel a long time.
Yeah, I was WhatsApping you, sending you the picture of like, yep, this is what I've got. You got your tickets. I realized getting the best seats available was not the option.
I made you realize.
Yeah. You did. But that's what teamwork is.
So I'm
going at level one. Can't wait for it. It's going to be a good game. Houston Texans, Jags. Obviously, it's a long way off, but I think that's going to be a really exciting game. The Jags know what they need to do compared to last year, and then the Houston Texans, they're going to be there or thereabouts at playoffs, aren't they?
Massive. And not only that, it's a divisional game, so that should be really exciting. And Texans are one of three teams who have yet to play over here an international game in London. So very excited to see the Texans. A slew of stars for the Texans. Thank you. A wealth of stars. Hello. And my longer words are out of use for the rest of the pod.
Okay. The other game we couldn't go, Charlie and I, because obviously what we're leading to the things that we're going to be doing with the NFL UK or getting involved in. And so obviously what we tried to say is, look guys, we'd love to meet more of you as well. So at Ice the Kicker Pod is our Twitter. We're also on Instagram. I need to pull my finger out, as Charlie mentioned just before we started the podcast. I need to do a few more things like that, but we do love it when we get to meet you guys, so please do get in contact with us at those games. Also, we're going to try and get those Bucks tickets. I think, though, the most popular game is going to be the Bears versus the Raiders, just because of Hard Knocks now and the Raider Nation building up and the Bears being so successful. But you pointed out it's a 6 o'clock sort of kickoff, so you don't expect it to be as busy as the other ones, just because of the timings.
Timing's a difference. People want to take their kids, you know, family attend. The other game's at 2:30. And not only that, you say Hard Knocks, but Hard Knocks hasn't aired yet when the tickets are on sale. So does that play a part? Bruce Arians, he's a big pull for
the Bucks.
The Bucks, which is going to be great. You know, a new version maybe. Jameis Winston 2.0, Mike Evans, a number of players there. And also, we just said about the Texans, one of three teams not to have played. A Panthers are another team who have yet to come over. A lot of Carolina Panthers fans here in the UK. Yeah. They're going to be really eager to see their team. Cam Newton's a big pull. Christian McCaffrey, lots and lots of pulls there. Luke Kuechly, Greg Olsen, I could go on. But very exciting. And of course, now... the Gerald McCoy revenge game.
Indeed, indeed. He's part of our snippet story today. And also, yeah, it would be great because now we're Charlie and I are definitely going to that Jags game. It would be amazing to meet as many of you as possible. So do email us as well.
And dare I say, exciting to try the see what the NFL experience is like at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Well, it looks great for football, so it should be right.
It should be good. I'm excited. I mean, it is
Is it on a tube line, mate? Is it on a tube line? Can I get there on a tube?
Over grand.
Oh, mate, nightmare. Oh, well, at least I'll get a signal. All right, listen, guys, let's go straight in with the news. It is a bit quiet at the moment because we are building up to the season pre-games that are going to be starting around August time. But you've got to talk about that big news. Wide receiver, he's going to be the highest paid. That man is Mr. Thomas of the Saints. It's a big deal for him, but he deserves it 100%, in my opinion.
Well, we are speculating. No rumours of the figures or the deal yet. Apparently, Saints have no qualms making him the highest paid receiver in the league. Apparently, the rumours are out. Michael Thomas wants $22 million a year in that region. You know, his stats, they speak for themselves, don't they? Like, in the 3 years he's been in the league, he's receptions, he's touchdown. He's 6'2", 6'3", and he always comes down with the ball. He always wins those contested catches. And not only that, he has that chemistry with Drew Brees. He seems to be Drew Brees' man, doesn't he? I'm very excited about Thomas. You know, he's a guy that always goes early in fantasy. We're going to see now. The market always gets reset. We saw it. You know, people were saying about Aaron Rodgers. Then Wilson got a deal. And Wentz, you know, he got his deal. And now Dak Prescott wants to be in the 30. So he could reset the wide receiver market. It will only stay for that time. Then Hopkins will get a deal. It will always be broken. But is he the first man to do it? I'm excited. Although there has been, Tom, and I want to talk to you about this, some rumblings on Twitter that Thomas shouldn't be one of the first wide receivers off the board in fantasy. And I don't agree with this, but they're saying, if you look at Drew Brees towards the end, Drew Brees is on the slide. I do not agree with that.
Okay, you're suggesting, and sort of agree with you, that I think these big players that are important to a team are going to be looking to get paid, and that's exactly what's happening now. Thomas's stats are incredible. Over the 1,000 yards each year, touchdowns are, you know, they're 9 last year, 5 before that, 9 again. The man is the go-to guy for the Saints. I agree with you. In the playoffs, Brees, you know, getting stopped. The Dallas Cowboys managed to find a way to stop the Saints, but that Thomas is the go-to guy. It's like, you know, last year, like, well, what are the Texans going to do? Hopkins can't keep catching the ball. He does. Good wide receivers will find the space and get there. I agree with you on this, but what would be the theory behind him not having a good year? Just the fact that Brees isn't going to get in the ball. Is that purely it?
No, I think that the people saying that Brees is on the decline, and the stats that I've not looked into too heavily apparently agree with this towards the second half of last season. But no, I think that for the age Thomas is and the production he's already given, he's only going to improve. And we've seen it's wise to secure your players, I think, earlier rather than later, because A, the market's always going to go up, and secondly, it gives you time while they've still got it on the deal. When they feel wanted, they feel loved, he's still got time on his deal. We've seen it with Carson Wentz, who then got his deal. I love Thomas, and I love the Thomas Brees connection, and they work out really heavily in off season. So I'm expecting another big deep run from the Saints, although they are in my toughest division, I believe, the NFC South.
Okay, all right. I agree with you on the fact that I think Thomas is a great wide receiver. A happy wide receiver tends to do very well. Talking about that, then, in terms of wide receivers, we may as well snippets being said that Beckham said that at the Giants he was on a decline. That's the team that he wasn't going to fill his full potential. That's something that's been sort of thrown out there. We don't like to speculate, but it has been said that's why he wanted to move out of there. Would you agree with that? Because if you're talking about a quarterback that is on a decline, Manning is on a decline then, but he's their number one quarterback. Is it right for Beckham to have got out, jumped ship while he could?
Well, it's not necessarily Odell Beckham's decision, was it? The Giants deemed that what the Browns was offering was sufficient enough, and they took the deal. They probably wanted to part with Odell anyway, and everyone's like, no, they won't. They just gave him a new deal. It shows that in the NFL, that counts for nothing. But back to your first question, Yeah, because happiness and morale can play a massive part in anything. If you don't like going to work every day, as I'm sure probably a lot of our listeners and myself included, if you don't enjoy going to a job where you're not happy, even if it's something that you really wanted to do, the passion and the fire can die out and like distinguish very, very quickly. And it's easy from, you know, and I could be a hypocrite. I can say, oh, God, like, why is he not happy? He's earning X amount and he's getting to do a job like the NFL. I wish I was doing that and not pen pushing and filing forms and stuff. But
Sandra, whose lunch is it? Is this yours? Yeah, you're doing all that office politics.
That was my yellow post-it note on them strawberries. Who ate them? But we've all been there. But the thing is, you know, you can get sort of disillusioned with life at a certain franchise. And, you know, careers are short in sport, especially in the NFL. It's a 16-game season. You know, there's always the youngsters coming up. Someone's faster, someone's stronger, someone's on a cheaper deal. You're a cap casualty. If he really thinks that it wasn't going the way that it should be at the Giants, the Browns present a stronger opportunity, a younger quarterback, maybe a stronger arm, and so on and so forth, then, yeah, it maybe as to his morale, you will get the best of Odell. Jarvis Landry is a big part of, you know, they're very good friends. And of course that can add to it. Yeah, they're very...
And that very rarely happens in the NFL. When you're at college, you build these sort of bonds with players. Two wide receivers, they get to play now. They've got the tight end and Joker. They've got running backs, the quarterback. They're an exciting team with lots of opportunities. But the other argument is, at the Giants, he was going to be the go-to wide receiver. Whereas at the Browns, you've got to split those targets between Landry. So actually, he's reaching his full potential amongst other quality players, but he could really stand out, in my opinion, at the Giants.
But the flip side to that is maybe the Giants, a lot of their offense was going to go through Saquon. Maybe a lot of the offense will go through Beckham, and he'll still be the number one, I believe. You know, he'll be on the outside, and or I know Landry gets a lot of receptions, but also he might have not been. It comes down to more than football, doesn't it? And how was Odell perceived in New York? New York are a massive media town. You know, a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations, a lot of eyes being on Odell, and the whole saga that he's had. You know, when he had the net and he pretended to be a dog. Some of his celebrations, kicking the net, or him going out, and this whole, you know, petulant child image maybe that he's got. He's a little bit spoiled. Maybe he's like, that's not really me. New York has deemed that of me. I've been tarnished with this brush. I'm never going to really quite escape that. In Cleveland, they're known for being a raucous fan base where they really fall in love with the players. If you're playing for that brown and orange, you know, you're one of their own. They're going to root for you either way. And he might be even a bigger superstar than he was in New York, and he will be that in Cleveland, if that makes sense. So it might be win-win for him, and that goes a lot into a player's morale.
Maybe that's the full potential he's talking about, as not just the player on the field, but the personality off the field as well. So he gets to reach that sort of hero status maybe at the Browns. So
but I don't think that Odell's chasing that. And it's funny that you mentioned, will he share the snaps now that he was the number one in the Giants? He said, and I've heard a few receivers say this, and Antonio Brown said this, and people go, oh, Antonio Brown. But I do believe it. Antonio Brown said, do you think I care if I get 25 receptions or 25 receptions, two touchdowns, or five receptions, no touchdowns, as long as we win the game? He went, I just want to win a Super Bowl. That don't matter to me. And Odell come out and said, it doesn't matter to me as long as we're getting the wins. And there is a part that I really believe that, because as sportsmen, like, no one, we go on about stats, and I don't want to be a hypocrite again because we just spoke about Thomas, but ultimately we're judged at the end on wins and losses in sports and Super Bowl rings. And after personal glory, it should be about team glory first, shouldn't it?
Who do you share that with?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So we hear it in our football over here. People go, well, I don't want to be top scorer in the Premier League. I'd rather have won the Premier League. I don't really get nothing for that. And I'm all for that. So I don't know if that matters to... If do you want to go 3-13 with the Giants but have 20 touchdowns, or do you want to win the Super Bowl to Browns, but you've not had as many receptions?
Yeah, I suppose. I think the players need to know that they can step up and be accountable when they're called upon. That seems to be the philosophy for the NFL. Like, give me an opportunity, I won't let you down.
Next man up, isn't it? And also, if he's not the number one in the Browns, again, it could play into his hands. He's not being double-teamed anymore. People aren't being chased. If they've got to worry about Landry and Nick Chubb and David Njoku, the tight end, Odell's free. And I don't know. I don't think Odell should be free if he's running into that end zone.
No, I actually remember a little insight into Charlie and I. We went to New York and watched the game against the Niners, and it was actually, I think, the following week he made the incredible one-handed catch. But he actually made an incredible, like, almost as good against the Niners, and we witnessed that and was like, this guy is special. And then we ate a massive pizza, and then we got out before it got really busy on the train.
And I predicted a Niners win, and you went, the Niners, no way they win today, and they did.
Yeah, that's because Frank Gore dropped the ball on the first anyway, it's not important. What is important is Beckham is at the Browns. I'm loving everything that they're putting out on YouTube at the moment. Freddie Kitchens talking about coaches on our Twitter, Ice the Kicker Pod. Well, Charlie, and I like a lot of stuff that is out there and available. It's just really insightful to say those head coaches that shout and they're really loud. Freddie Kitchens makes a really good point. Listen, are they actually talking anything about coaching when they're shouting? Are they offering anything up to you? And that's, I think, I'm excited about the Browns.
It's interesting as well, because my thoughts on that were exactly what you just said, but also there was sort of a power struggle at the Browns last year. Hugh Jackson lost his job. Todd Haley went, and in stepped Greg Williams from defensive coordinator. He got the interim job. Freddie Kitchens went from running backs coach to offensive coordinator. Who was going to get the job at the end of the year? Freddie Kitchens got the job. Greg Williams was let go. He's now at the Jets. And Greg Williams is known as a shouter. And there was a little bit, apparently, again, we can't speculate, no smoke without fire, but a little bit of needle between the two, who was going to get that job. And then Freddie Kitchen comes out and said, we don't want shouters here, we want teachers. And I don't know, I mean, I'm putting two and two together and making 57, but if that was a subtle dig at, like, Greg Williams, that is the way that he coaches.
Yeah. Where is Greg Williams now? Is he at the Bucks?
No, he's at the Jets, defensive coordinator. He's working alongside Adam Gase.
Of course. And then Todd Bowles is at the Bucks.
Todd Bowles is at the Bucks, yeah.
Okay.
Rejoined with Bruce Arians.
Which is going to be a formidable thing, and they definitely need to tidy up on the defense. All right, listen, snippets of news. That's, I think, the best way we can describe it. Panthers, Jerry McCoy, not happy about the Bucks. We just mentioned them. Giving away his jersey number so quickly. Not even giving it the respect. It's still warm. And another player is stepping up and taking that number. That happens a lot in the NFL. You move on, guess what? We pass that number on.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's who scores a fault here, really. And talking from, I'm a fan of Green Bay. We let Clay Matthews go this offseason. Yeah, and he joined the LA Rams. And we gave 52 to Rashawn Gary, who's our first pick in the first round of this year's NFL draft. And Clay Matthews is not one for social media, rarely tweets, but he does have a profile and tweets. He tweets straight away. He said, the number's not even cold yet.
Wow.
And he's been at Green Bay's whole career. And it did make me laugh, but I don't know. We can't retire every single number. A player has to get it at some point. And a lot of the times, I do believe that it's because players idolise you. They look up to you. That's an iconic number. I want to be like Clay Matthews at Green Bay. I want to live to the standards that he set every year, the ultimate professional that he was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so there is that element
too
behind
spirit
it.
Lives
see it
on.
As, yeah, see it as a compliment. See it as a nod to you. It's not, you know, it's not an insult. It's I want to try to recreate what you do because I felt that you made such an impact for this franchise.
Yeah.
So, but maybe in other cases, Gerald McCoy's right because he has gone to a rival. So maybe that was a parting shot with the Bucks. Oh, you're going to go play for our rival? You want to play us twice a year? We're going to give you a number away straight away because it's not a number that we deem like, oh, that was Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We'll see someone do better in that number.
Yeah, it depends how
you see, there's the difference because I reckon the Bucks gave that to Sue. I don't believe Sue's asked for that. But in the Green Bay situation, I believe it was Rashawn Gary who asked for that because he was fond of Clay and he knew what he had done.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. So that is, to me, a compliment, whereas this is like, yeah, Sue, you're taking number 93 or whatever it was.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you that the two are different if you look at them. But it's kind of a nod. It's that kind of, it's not a snub on you and what you've achieved. It's like you say, it's like the spirit of the performances that you gave to this team live on. But players are so superstitious when it comes to those numbers. Like they really, you hear lots of stories about players asking to trade with another player in the locker room for that number because they perform better.
Yeah, and then they offer them a fee. We hear it a lot with like undrafted rookies or lower round draft picks who aren't on the bigger contracts, and then teams sign free agents and they want that number, and they'll take the money because it's great money for them.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't they? Like I've heard ridiculous amount amounts of money being changed. And just to talk about the other football for a minute, we've seen it, you know, Aubameyang wanted number 14 because he idolised Thierry Henry and he wanted to then do that for Arsenal. And this week, Gabriel Jesus, he changed, he's number 9. Pep didn't allow him last year to have number 9. He said, you had to go and earn it. This year, he's been allowed to wear number 9. So is he now that team, or as we say, franchise's main guy? He's the main striker. So there's a lot behind numbers, and there's a lot behind the psyche of a number for players. Definitely. I'm not one believer you're ever going to have a good game or you're not, but players obviously do seem to care about a number. And the point I'm making when I refer to the other football is that I think a number for you represents your standing in that club. If you're number 9, you're fairly big in that plans. Yeah. If you're number 35 or whatever, and obviously for the NFL, it's different for different positions, but if you know your number's not correlating to where you are, then something you feels like, well, they can't think that much of me because I'm not even the number that I've made famous.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot plays on the psychological aspect of those numbers, but I like the fact that Pep Guardiola is saying, go and earn that. Go and earn this number. And I think maybe to those rookies, like, you don't have the number you want. Maybe you're a first round, second round pick, but go and earn it. Prove us. And we'll give you the 81 as a wide receiver the next year. And I think that's good. It sets intentions for these players. And also, it takes away that pressure. If you give someone the number 81, you are a main wide receiver threat. The pressure's on them. And they go, I have to live up to this number. Whereas if they get that first year, doesn't matter what number you are, really. Next year, you come back and you've proved it.
Yeah, massively. And the Cleveland Browns do it well. When they have the rookies in for training camp and minicamp, they don't have the stripe on their helmet. Actually, I think it's the whole squad. Each year, no one has the stripe on their helmet until they make the 50-man roster. And that is, you go and earn the stripe.
Yeah.
Like, no one's made the roster. Yeah, you was on the roster last year. Oh, you had this amount of tackles and this amount of false fumbles or touchdowns. Well, this is a new year. You got to make it all over again. There's no guarantee. Yeah. So, obviously, so there is an element to that. And I do like it. You know, no one's, we have to guard against complacency.
All right. Talking of money, Charlie, it's just reminded me, Cam Newton.
Oh, I thought you were going to go on about the money you owed me.
No, I don't know. I paid you back in, well, it doesn't even matter about that. It was in Bitcoin. Cam Newton on a flight, asked to trade seats with someone who had extra leg room, apparently offered him at $1,500. The man in the seat said no. So Cam Newton, video is out there, had to sit cramped for that length of the flight. Talking of money, we're technically rookies in this. Would you take the money to change seats? Because I know for a fact, and I'm going to tell you, if someone's offering me $1,500 for a seat, I'm like, yeah, I'll move for you.
My answer, I'm very stubborn. I would probably say no. But it depends. If we're talking a 1 hour, 2 hours, after Mallorca with the lads, you know what I mean? If someone's offered me a ridiculous amount for a bit of a leg room and the flight was X, then yes. If it's a long-haul flight, I don't know, has the flight been delayed? I've been in the airport for ages. I've managed to book a seat away from the missus. I've got the leg room. Mate, I don't want to make 1,500. It's not a life-changing amount. Not like, oi, big shot. But you've got. We don't know this guy's other situation. He could be. It's like, would you really want to give that up? Do I want to give 11-hour, 10-hour flight and then go back and sit cramped where someone's already reclined their seat, like half their pasta's already like on my neck?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to recline. And this other guy, he might have pre-booked those seats months ago, ages ago. He knows. He wanted that leg room. So then why not? Do you know what I mean? Money doesn't buy everything and doesn't revolve around him. No, I'm not saying it from your point of view, but that doesn't mean like everyone's going to go, yeah, I'll take that. Do you know what I mean? I think there is a certain amount to weigh up. If that guy paid a ridiculous, like, say, 500 for the flights or, like, for two people or 1,000, then he can recoup that in an instant, then, yeah, maybe I would. But there's a lot of other factors. And I'm being genuine.
Are you worried about the meal, the dietary meal? Because they can just swap that.
No. And this is not if this was a player from my favourite team or it was my favourite player, I still wouldn't be inclined to do it. If it was you, I wouldn't be inclined to do it. It would have to suit me.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
And that's being genuine. To me, it does not matter.
Okay. For me, in my head, I'm like, 1,500, I'd get the money so that's a free flight now. I can then spend that on a meal.
And I completely understand that and agree.
And do you know what I'd do? Because you know me. I'd suddenly go, do you know what? Rather than getting to New York like we did, and we had bunk beds to stay in, I can put an extra couple of $200, $300 in and I'll have a good night's kip. So I would monetize it like that. And also, I'd worry about Cam Newton. Has he come over in cash? has he come over with his Monzo details? Can he swap that over? Mm. Yeah. Is this a check? Yeah. Can I get this as a Bax payment? You know, you've got to think about that. I wouldn't just go, yeah,
is he,
no worries.
Does he want you to send an invoice?
Yeah.
Like, the problem is...
Yeah, but, so...
And people, it's crazy. People are saying on Twitter, like, oh, well, why didn't Cam book it in advance? Well, he might have changed... It might have been last-minute plans. He might have wanted to take a short flight... Not everyone books their flights ages in advance, and people go, he's got the money, he's a big-time quarterback. Why didn't he pay for first class? Again, that might have been sold out. It was the last flight of the day. He took the seat, and then he thought, I'll offer someone a bit of cash, probably in the hope that he thinks most people that would be enough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
It's not
maybe,
always enough, though, because money doesn't get you everywhere in life.
Maybe
it gets you a lot of places,
conversion.
Though.
Yeah, it does indeed. For everything else, there's MasterCard. Mm. The euros to dollar might have been down.
But also, just to quickly say, how much did Cam want that seat then? Because, again, I'm not saying about the money, but if you really want something and he really couldn't bear that 10 hours, you go, $5,000 then. Well, there's $2,500. Because then the man might have said yes. Do you know what I mean? So you have to put a price in it, because a normal first class seat or legroom seat is equal to what anyway?
No, I agree. This is nice. I think it's a good point. All right, little snippets of news as well. Josh McCown, he's finally saying goodbye to the NFL. He's going to take up a job in the ESPN looking at college stuff. So that means no more hair flip with Sam Darnold. Yeah, but he did say he's only one phone call away, which I think is nice for Darnold. It's not quite nice, though. Did you know, I didn't know this about Josh McCown, he's played for 10 teams in the NFL.
10 teams in 17 years.
It's not bad, is it?
It's incredible. And, you know...
A wealth of experience.
I love Josh McCown. He's so honest, and he posted like a letter almost, like when he retired, thanking the clubs and coaches and his family for what they've been through in that time. And he just said... I embrace the tag journeyman because I've played in this league. I wanted to play in this league and all what it represented. And I think he's always conducted himself with class, so graceful. And, you know, he's had some great success. And when he played in that Jets run under that, he can actually play, and fair play to him. And apparently he's an excellent coach, an excellent teacher. So they reckon, I know he is joining ESPN, but we could see him become an offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, who knows, a head coach. And very interesting, Josh McCown is now retired. And he was drafted, I think it was 2002, 2003.
That is correct, round three.
Thank you. And there is only four players... who were drafted then as well, who or before him, who are still playing in this league. Do you know who they are?
Ooh, repeat the question just for everyone listening as well.
Okay. Josh McCown drafted in 2002. There are four players who were drafted either at the same time or before him that are still playing. Only four players.
Yep.
So I'm not talking about the players after Josh McCown. Okay. I'm talking about the time he was drafted and before. Four players.
Yeah.
Do you know who they still are?
Antonio Gates.
No.
Ooh.
I'll let you have one more wrong guess.
Okay.
Because I thought one should be very
Adam
easy.
Adam Vinatieri.
No. All right. Well, I'm going to give you them because you've got no wrong guesses.
Thank you.
I don't think you...
I really enjoyed that. I probably didn't listen to the question.
No. Tom Brady, obviously.
Sorry, did you say quarterbacks?
No, I said four players.
Okay.
Drew Brees.
Don't say
Drew
like that, like
Brees and Tom Brady. I'm annoyed. Terrell Suggs.
Yeah.
And Mr. Fantastic Pundit Comeback King himself, Jason Witten.
Wow. Do you know what? Applaud and praise where praise belongs. And that was a great little question. Thank you very much, Charlie. I enjoyed that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying I needed any humble pie to be eaten there from me. I just enjoy questions. I enjoy my NFL. But a guy that has grown up and matured is a cornerback for the Jags. He's been in the news as well.
Mr. Jalen Ramsey, yeah. Growing up somewhat, we all know, we may even spoke about it last year, Jalen Ramsey did an infamous interview and article with the magazine GQ in which he basically ruined pretty much most of the quarterbacks in the league, just what he thought of them. And the basic answer that he gave, or the most common answer, was they're trash. And he did state some certain reasons why. And, you know, everyone's allowed their opinion, but, you know, maybe it wasn't the most graceful and it wasn't the most sportsmanship thing that he could have done. Well, this year he has done another interview, this time with Adam Schefter, who I believe is with ESPN, but he's done an interview with Adam Schefter. And Adam Schefter kind of touched upon last year, and he wasn't fishing, was he going to say anything this year? But he said, look, you done an interview last year, you made some comments,
What have you learned?
No, he said, what do you make of your opponents this year? You know, he's like, are you going to give the mature answer or are you going to go back? He didn't say, what have you learned? He wanted to let Jalen kind of make that answer for himself. And it was a completely different Jalen Ramsey. Completely sidestepped. He just said, you know, I tell you what quarterbacks I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to working with Nick Foles, who is not only a great quarterback and a great teammate, a Super Bowl winner. He doesn't have to prove anything to anyone. I'm looking forward to playing with him and him expressing himself because he's got the support of everyone in the locker room. And all the other quarterbacks, I'm excited. Good luck, blah, blah, blah. He says, I've matured this year. I don't need to be saying that about other NFL players. This is me growing up. This is me in year four. And it's what we spoke about, like Adele. There is a maturing period in anyone's life. And, you know, what, how you act at 18, 19, 20, and how you act when you're 25, 26 to 30, 32, you do grow up and you do see things and you do come to appreciate it from a different stance, a different perspective. And he knows, he just sort of, when he did say that, he was creating so much, he's giving people so much ammunition towards him. He doesn't need to do it. Jalen, let people talk about your game, because you know now when they come and beat you, you're giving them motivation to want to beat you. Yeah, and don't give them that. Don't give them the edge. Just let your play speak for itself. And maybe also, again, I'm trying to read into it a little bit more. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey wants to reset the cornerback market. He wants to be the biggest cornerback paid. Now, he's got 1 year left of his deal. The Jags said, we're not doing it this summer before it runs out. They're going to do it next year after the deal expires or work towards it through the season. He said he wants to be the highest paid. The cornerback market is stalled. It's got dead. They're not being paid what they should. I want to reset it. He also tweeted, he's very vocal on Twitter, that check better have a lot of zeros.
Wow.
So he's not shy in showing the Jags what he wants and telling the world what he wants. Does this help him get that? Because if he's going after this man, gunning for everyone, then they're like, do we really need that? Another battle? We've had trouble with Fournette. Tom Coughlin's not a big fan of people falling out of ranks. Neither's Doug Marrone. Jalen Ramsey, oh, this is a mature guy. Look how good he was this year. Yeah, he's the guy that can be the face of this franchise. So I believe he has grown up and he's matured, but he knows something big is on the horizon also. Cynical, maybe.
Cynical, but do you know what? I don't think you're far off the truth there. So, Charlie, Jalen Ramsey is grown up. He's matured. I know you had a question. I think you've asked that to me. But I have a quick question for you. I played cricket on Sunday, Charlie, and a guy came out to bat. It was very sort of like, you know, country pub level. Came out to bat. Was wearing a green hat, and I thought, is he wearing a Jets hat?
J-E-T-S, Jets.
And obviously, he's a big Gase fan. He's pushing, you know, it's an exciting time for them. I sort of said to everyone else in the field, I was like, hello, look at this. Someone's wearing a Jets hat. That's NFL at cricket match. Oh, this will be interesting. Anyway, got chatting to him. Turns out he's not a Jets fan. That's his son's team, but it was the only cap he could find. I said, well, who do you support then? He went, the Niners. So immediately, all my anger, all my sort of like annoyance went away because he's a Niners fan like me. But the question I want to ask to you, Charlie, and what do you think about this? Wearing another team's colours, is that a yay or a nay for you?
I'm torn on this, and I'm torn because some people really get offended by people wearing other colours. Now, where I'm torn is, would I ever wear a rival of the Packers jersey? No, I would never.
Couldn't
do
wear
that.
A Bears one.
Couldn't wear Bears. Wouldn't wear Vikings. Vikings. Wouldn't wear Lions. No, wouldn't wear any NFC North rival.
Okay.
Would I wear maybe someone who's in the AFC fight, was a massive fan of them, or maybe the odd NFL jumper? Maybe, potentially. I'm not saying yes, but I'm not saying never. If I liked it, maybe, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Also, we wasn't born where this sport is played. So we don't have that tribal instinct and territorial thing where, oh, it's another club. Safe to say, would I wear another football, as in soccer shirt? No way, Jose. No other team would I wear. No. So I get it. And if people go, oh, no, I wouldn't. But NFL, it's very different because even though I'm not a fan of maybe, say, the Packers rivals, can I appreciate the Chicago Bears defense? Do I enjoy watching them play? Did I enjoy the Vikings when they were going for that run? Can I enjoy Matt Stafford's comebacks for the Lions? Yeah, because I'm a massive fan of the sport. So I don't have the burning hatred. I dislike them, and maybe I don't want them to do well over the Packers.
Yeah.
But I'm not be like, oh, they have to lose today. Like, if the bag's in it, there's not that. And the shirt thing. And people get very upset about people wearing different shirts to teams who aren't playing at the NFL games here in London. I love it because it's one community. These people would never get a chance to see normally an NFL team. And it's very unlikely they get a chance to see their own team, especially if they're not coming over, a la the Packers, Panthers and Texans. They want to wear their shirt to a game, to a sport that they never thought would be played here. So there is an up and down. I do understand it. And people are very, you know, tribal about it, but it is tricky. What about yourself?
I sort of agree with a lot of things you're saying there. I will happily wear another team's jersey because I love the NFL. When I went to the Eagles last year, I went and got myself a McNabb jersey on eBay, got it nice and cheap, just so I could fit in and absorb the culture that is an Eagles fan.
If you wore a Niners fan, you wouldn't have probably absorbed it half as much.
No. And so the interesting thing is I am going to go to the Seattle Seahawks this year in October, and I've got that question that I have to ask to myself.
Never.
Can I wear a Seattle Seahawks top?
And
I
not think if you're a Niner.
And I think I am at that point. I am like with you. I agree. I can wear any other teams if it, as long as it doesn't bother me. Like they're not in my division. I can't wear a Seahawks top. I will go and watch the game and I'll soak it up, the atmosphere, and I will be supporting the Ravens under my breath, just because. But because it's the Battle of the Birds, Hawks versus the Ravens. But yeah, I agree with you on that. So yeah. I feel like, and actually, if you love the sport, you love the sport, get on board with it.
Massively. And one thing you touched on that also I completely agree with is there are legends in the game. And even if they play for teams you don't like or in the NFL, yes, I would wear that shirt. I appreciate the sport. I appreciate what that player has done for the sport. Would I wear that jersey? Yeah, because I really enjoyed watching them when I was a kid. Yeah. Really enjoyed watching their highlights on YouTube now. And they were fantastic, and like I love hearing people talk about him. So would I wear that jersey? Yeah. So when you say, oh, the McNabb jersey or so on and so forth, yeah, I'd wear that jersey. They're great players. It's not, do you know what I mean? So it is a tough one. I understand both arguments, but if you love the sport and you love the player, you love the fans, go for it. Don't worry about what anyone else is thinking.
Yeah, amen to that. Listen, Charlie and myself, Mr. Tommy Deacon, have enjoyed your company. Should we wrap up the podcast? Or would you like to do our favourite feature of the show? It's time for our feature of the week. Who are you?
My name is...
No, that's not it.
Oh, right. No, it's this. Oh, I love it.
Every time.
I love it. I just love it. This is our favourite feature that we have just recently started. So if you're new to it, let me just give you a quick recap. Basically, we are going to have six clues. Ah, what? Six clues? All of them at the same time? No. What Charlie will be trying to do is to have picked a player and I try and guess from his first clue who it is. Hence, who are you? If I do it in one clue, I will get 8 points. That's a touchdown plus a 2-point conversion. If I do it in two clues, I'll get 7 points. That's a touchdown plus a 1-point conversion. If I do it in three, I'll get six. That's a touchdown. If I get it in four, I will get 3 points. That's a field goal. And if it's five, I'll get 2 points, which could be a safety. And if I do it in six, I'll get 1 point. That's for the 1-point conversion. And if I don't get it in that, well, guess what? I get no points. We will have a week winner, plus we will also keep a tally of the points scored to have our current champ, which is Charlie from week one. He won week one, and he's also on 2 points. Perfect.
I think you're yet to get off the mark.
Yeah, yeah, lovely. Yet to get off the mark. But you know what? Sometimes just
you're slow burner, mate. You're building up. You haven't peaked yet. Yeah?
Perfect.
But you're on money. Do you want me to kick it off? A chance for you to stake your early claim and get some points on the board?
No. What I'd like you to do, Charlie, is to take on board what I've taken it from this week. We were suggested, given one, to go with, Charlie.
So
this is what's happening, Charlie. We are going to ask people to get involved. If you've got a player in mind and you've got your six clues, they get progressively easier as you go through. More clues you get, better chance you have got of getting this player. So this is coming from one of them, Mr. 5 Yard Raj, Mr. Murph. So are you ready, Charlie, for this?
I know he's going to make this double difficult for me as well. So
yeah, Lord Muffet, here it is, the man from 5 Yard Rush, the good people. If you like your fantasy, definitely make sure you go and check them out. Clue number one. I went undrafted in the 2018 NFL draft.
Okay.
Now, I should also point out that Charlie gets two lifelines. So, if he was to make a guess then and get it wrong, he'd only have one left.
I won't make a guess just yet.
Okay, number two. I was waived in the final roster cuts, but signed to my team's practice squad the following day.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Clue number three. This is for 6 points, one touchdown. I had 38 tackles last season. So I think we're guessing which side of the ball this player will be on.
Yep.
I attended the University of Alabama, where I played cornerback. Now, what you will soon realize, ladies and gentlemen, of this feature, it really does test the knowledge. And I think this is a very difficult one. But to be fair, my one in week one was very difficult.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
Okay. After Philip Gaines was cut, I was signed to the active roster in 2018.
Okay, go on.
Okay, and this is...
How many clues?
That was number five.
Oh, so this is clue number six. All right, okay, so I've got to go after this for 1 point.
Okay. I was voted the PFF's Rookie Team of the Year for my play for the Buffalo Bills.
Did those clues get progressively easier?
Well, you've got the team and his position.
Yeah, I know.
Mate, it's tough. It's tough. I wouldn't have got this, and I'm putting my hands up on this. Putting my hands up.
Oh, because names elude me. Faces.
I know. Do you remember when we went to the Nike store in London and Tyrod Taylor was there, plus the main man who was the cornerback for them, and his name evades me, but he's not in the NFL anymore. But such a great speaker, such a great talker.
Because you know why?
Rambo or something like that, is it?
All the people that I thought it was, it's not now because it's the Bills. Okay, go on, because we are time dependent. What is it? I'll forfeit this week. Screw you, Murph.
Yeah, indeed. Quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, Levi Wallace. Tough one, innit? I feel like it wasn't on the tip of my tongue either. All right, there you go, Charlie. I know. There we go. Cornerbacks. Done. Anyone who got that, let us know. Tweet us at Ice the Kicker.
Well, mine is much more within reach.
Okay.
I shouldn't have said that. No, you don't get it. Okay.
All right.
The first clue, and these are the type of clues we should be using. The first clue to who are you? Clue number one. This man was born on the 23rd of May, 1991, and he played college football for Pittsburgh from 2010 to 2013. So I've kind of given two clues in one there, my friend. Two clues. His age. How recent he was in college. Yeah?
TJ Hockerson.
No, because he got drafted this year.
Okay, cool.
You're not listening. You don't listen. Communication skills are very poor from you.
All right, I've wasted a guess. God. I just wanted to smash it, but I've definitely not.
You're not listening.
Okay.
Should one lifeline there. He was drafted in the first round in 2014. Clue three. He was ranked number 7 on last year's top 100 players.
Oh, all I can hear is the sound of that cogs. Okay. All right.
He was the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2014. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler, a 4-times first team All Pro, a 2-times NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and he was the sack leader in 2018. I mean, if that's not 10 things in one clue. NFL sack leader in 2018. He's a 5-times Pro Bowler.
I shouldn't have wasted that first guess.
That was so bad. That was so bad that for considering I said when he played college. I mean, you're not listening at all. All right. If you don't get it after clue five, you're a bang in trouble. He signed, and remember the clues that have gone before this, okay?
Yeah.
He signed a mega deal to become the highest paid defensive player in the NFL, only to see it topped by Khalil Mack shortly afterwards.
I'm going to say Aaron Donald.
Correct!
Yes! Good. That was tense, mate.
That was tense, but well done. Touché.
Thank you.
It's one or win weeks, but you only got... What did you get there? 2 points? No, 2 points.
2 points.
So we're level on points.
Yeah.
and we're level in weeks.
I could have got that earlier, but what's happened there?
Could you, TJ Hockerson?
Look, TJ.
Should I tell you my worry? People are going to listen to this podcast and go, do they know NFL?
Right. Don't worry about that. I will say to everybody.
Oh, and just
right
quickly,
now,
Murph, if you've got my number, block me, yeah? Levi Wallace, don't ever text me again.
All right, we understand. Look, the only reason I used Murph's this week
revenge
was just because it was so difficult last week. No, I wanted to guess on that a lot earlier, but the nerves get to you, Charlie.
Mate, I said college, you know 2010. Mate, see, I was giving you a few clues in one. Mate, you come on.
Can I just say,
you should have got a bit earlier, but
that
you got
is
it.
A great example of how we want to play this game, ladies and gentlemen. People out there, also, it'd be great to get someone on to play this game and to mock this up. So listen, Charlie, thank you very much for that. That is Who Are You done for.
Boom.
This week. Only things that we want to really sort of finalize and finish up on is Monday. Charlie and I will be going to the NFL UK Live. Woo-hoo! We've already spoken about him. He's a man who's matured. We're not saying he's learned his lesson, but Jalen Ramsey is going to be there amongst so many other names that are going to be Bernard, the running back for the Bengals, is going to be there.
Giovanni Bernard. DJ Chark, who I also like to call DJ Chark. DJ Chark.
If I get a question, we will try and pose that out. Yeah. If you are going, do let us know. Also, mate, I don't know about you, but I just want one time I go there, I just want to hear the stories from those NFL players. Last year, loved hearing Fitzpatrick's conversations down in Southampton. But I just don't want to see another kid throw a football in a bin. I'm done with that, mate. Nah, I'm done with that. I've got three Subway fingers. I don't need any more, mate. I just want to hear the stories and be close to the stars that I love watching on Sunday. That's all I'm putting out.
It is going to be great. If you are going, please tweet us. We want to meet up with as many people beforehand as possible. Sit with everyone, ask some questions. Just be great to meet more fans of the community. So let us know if you're going. Me and Tom are both going to be there Monday night.
Yeah,
I didn't know what I was going to say then.
Did you not? Would you think it'd be a rude question to ask Cameron Brate whether he's worth drafting this year as a tight end, because he's always one of those players.
Yeah,
it's like there or thereabouts. Can I not?
Well, you can.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. You
can. I'll get mugged off on it. Are you going to wear your Green Bay Packers jersey
or another jersey? Is that a lie?
Perfect. Listen, guys, we'll see you then. We're going to end the show this week ourselves, actually. So if you do want to end the show, then do get in contact with us. We've done a lot of asks this week, but I feel like that's the way you're supposed to do a podcast, mate.
Boom.
Thank you. Goodbye from me. My name's been Tom Deacon. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Goodbye from me. He was Tom Deacon. See you next week.